Well, I thank you for being here this morning. One announcement that I forgot to have Mike announce. Sister Mary Barker is down with the crud that everybody else had a few weeks ago. She says she's got the flu, so just keep her in our prayers also, because it's going to be a week or so before she's able to get back out. All right, several weeks ago, if you remember, I started a series of lessons simply entitled Three Things. This morning, I want to start give another sermon on three things, but the rest of the title is Three Things About the Second Coming of Jesus. Now, when was the last time you thought about the second coming of Jesus? Great question, isn't it? When was the last time we actually started thinking or had in our mind the thought of Jesus coming again? You know, there is so much confusion in the world, in society today, concerning the return of Jesus. So today, this is going to be the second lesson in the series that I'm going to present over however long. It's important for us to come to a good understanding about the second coming of Jesus. And the reason for that is a simple fact, as I stated, there is so much confusion about his coming. First of all, I don't know how many of you get on social media, but not too long ago there was a post, and the gentleman gave all kinds of signs, and I believe that it was something about Israel and the war with Hamas and with Russia and Ukraine and Iran and so on and so on and so on, and all of the deadly tornadoes and earthquakes that we've been having. And he said, look at this. This means Jesus is coming very soon. Get ready. And he lists all of these different aspects. So he was wanting everybody to look at the signs. Correct? That's what he was trying to get people to do. Look at all these things that's taking place. So that means that Jesus is coming very soon, because we see all of these signs. But you know what? There will be no sign. There's not going to be one or two or a dozen things that you can look at that's taking place around this globe that's going to point to the day that Christ is going to come. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 talks about, well, let's back up just a little bit before we get to that. There have been countless people predicting the time of Jesus' return. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. Turn your Bibles over there. I want us to look at this real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You know, even in the day of the apostles, there were those who were saying, well, where is he? He said he's coming. Why hadn't he come yet? Everything is continued on from day one of creation until now. Shouldn't he have not already come? However, let's consider a little bit of what the Bible teaches. You know, it's not good if we can't take book, chapter, and verse and talk about the second coming of Christ. Because if we don't do that, that's where all of the confusion comes from. People think so's. What my grandma taught me. And so on. Look, if you will, at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew exactly what night and at what time that a thief was going to be breaking into my house to steal my things, I'd make preparation for it. You know, actually, I was going to say I'd help them carry it out, but I'd make preparation. I would doubly make sure that the windows were locked, the doors were locked, and set our attack cat right out there to keep watch. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's going to be unexpected. It's going to happen when we least expect it to happen. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. You all going to hear it. It's not going to be something that only certain people hear. It's going to be a great noise. And the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In other words, brothers and sisters, there's not going to be anything left. It's going to come when we least expect it. We're not going to know the day or the hour. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. It says here, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No man knows. And anybody that tells you that they know the day and the hour that Jesus is coming is a liar. You know, we're told not to call any man a liar. But the idea when someone stands and predicts exactly the day and the hour that Jesus is going to be coming, they're lying. Am I right? Look now at verse 20, or chapter 25 and verse 13. 24, verse 36. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Then in chapter 25 and verse 13. Watch therefore. In other words, he's saying, be aware. Keep your eyes open. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. In other words, we need to be ready every single day. Not just on the Lord's day. Not just today. But Monday and Tuesday and so on down the line through the entire week. We need to be prepared daily. We're also told in Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39, we're told it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Okay? But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The first thing that we need to understand about as it was in the days of Noah, they were not listening. They were not listening to Noah, who spent 120 years building the ark and preaching, hey, y'all need to prepare because it's going to rain and there's going to be a flood. You need to make yourself right. But they didn't do it. Nobody listened. They went on with their daily life. They got so wrapped up in the affairs of their life every day that they simply had no time for God. They had no time to prepare. He is coming when he is not expected. Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. I'm going to tell you, this one verse here ought to make every one of us prepare ourselves for the second coming, because we don't know. We're not guaranteed the next second. Therefore, be ye also ready. He's speaking to his disciples, okay? He's speaking to his apostles, but now it's speaking to us. We need to be ready because Jesus is coming. But I know someone's going to be talking about Matthew chapter 24 and verses 1 through 28. You know where it talks that two are going to be in the field, one's going to be taken, one left, two's going to be on the roof, one taken, one left, and so on and so on. What about that, John? Didn't it talk about certain things? Well, yes, it does. You know, many people base the rapture on that. But did you know that Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28 is speaking concerning the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem? It's not talking about a rapture. What Jesus is telling his disciples, they need to be ready because this is going to come upon, because you remember, Jesus and his disciples left the temple and they were marveled at such a beautiful building. And what did Jesus say? You remember? There's not going to be one stone left on top of another. And that just blew their mind. Well, tell us when the world's going to end. To them, the temple was their world. Did you know that the stones, the base stones of the temple was 37 feet in length? That's a big rock. But it wasn't just simply the length. The height was 12 feet. And it was 18 feet wide. Now, I rounded the numbers a little bit. That was a big rock. And Jesus says there's not going to be one left on top of the other. And I believe that Brother Aaron talked a little bit about this in his class Wednesday night about Vespasian and his son Titus. They were actually the ones that besieged Jerusalem. Did you know it took them 3 years to finally do away with Jerusalem and the temple? Number two. There will be no rapture. Okay? One of the reasons members of the body of Christ know very little about the rapture is because the Bible does not mention it and it does not teach it. You can't find it anywhere. Well, John, we just talked about one will be taken and one will be left. But that's not talking about the rapture. It's talking about, hey, when you see the Roman army standing outside the gate, y'all need to leave. Don't go back into your house and get your belongings. Leave. Leave everything. Get out of Dodge. That's what he's saying. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The theory of the rapture is that there are two comings of Jesus. First of all, he's going to be coming and taking all of the righteous off the face of the earth. And then we're going to have the thousand-year reign, and that's another lesson for another time. And then he's going to come back. All right, but notice, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, hang your little thing right there. Hang on that verse. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Again, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I pray and I hope that everybody here today believes that, that Jesus died, and on the third day he arose again. Even so, them also which sleep, those Christians who have died, who are buried, God is going to bring them. Now, let's read on. Let's go down to verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, did you catch it right there? In verse 14, even so them also which sleep, that means they died. That means they're no longer among the living. God in Christ, those who died in Christ, will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort yourselves, or comfort one another with these words. Now, what we need to understand here, that this is not two separate comings of Jesus, but this is two accounts of the one coming. The problem was, in Thessalonica, the Christians were beside themselves because their brothers and sisters in Christ have died, and they were afraid that they were going to miss Jesus' return. They were afraid that their moms and their dads and their brothers and their sisters in the flesh who were Christians were not going to be able to see Christ come. So Paul is trying to reaffirm and to encourage them and telling them, hey, when Jesus comes the second time, he's going to raise those who have died in the Lord first, and then us who are left, we're going to meet them in the air. What a glorious picture. Again, it's not two separate comings. It's going to be one is for the saints that have died, And the second is going to be the saints who are alive are going to meet him in the air. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. No faithful child of God is going to be left. That's what he's saying. Not one child of God is going to be left. Again, these are not two comings, but two facts about his one coming. He's coming for the saints that are still on the earth. Again, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Them who? Those who were dead and arose when Christ came. That's the them in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when he comes for the saints still on this earth, he's going to bring, because he's going to raise them up out of the grave that's already departed to this earthly life. All right, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's comforting, isn't it? Knowing even though our body is going to return to dust, our spirit is going to live. Consider this passage. Let's look at John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, but they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So in other words, we have a choice. While we're still on this earth, we have a choice. But once we die, whatever state we die in, that is the state we're going to be when we are raised from the grave. Lastly, real quick, it will be a day of victory. A day of victory. So many Christians needlessly live in fear of Jesus' return. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many here today are in fear of the Lord's return? While it will be a day of destruction and vengeance on the disobedient, that is not how it's described for the child of God. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say anything here about taking vengeance on faithful children of God. What it says is they're going to take vengeance on them that know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. Consider these verses also. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Jesus' second coming for a faithful child of God is going to be rest. Then look at Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Salvation is offered to those who have obeyed. And on the second coming, when Jesus appears in the sky, we don't have to be afraid. Do we? John 14, verses 1 through 3. I like to use these verses here for funerals. I know. A lot of people like Psalms 23. But Psalms 23 is not for those who've died. Psalms 23 is for us who are still alive. Look at this. Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The King James says mansions, but a lot of the different translations literally says rooms. In God's house, there's many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Doesn't it just give you joy knowing that Christ has prepared a place for us, that when we shed this earthly tabernacle, when we shed the flesh and blood, we have a place already prepared for us? But there's a caveat to that. That is, if we remain faithful. It is if we have obeyed the gospel. Not everybody is going to be able to go to that prepared place because they've not prepared. They've not kept watch. They're still living in sin. The world today does not believe in God. Yes, I know there's many that do, but yet they don't obey. So they might as well not believe. Jesus died on the cross. But yet there's many who believe that Jesus is still in the grave. But he's risen. And he's given us an opportunity to have our sins washed away by obeying the gospel, by being baptized and having our sins washed away. And if you're here this morning and you've not done that, what's keeping you from it? Well, you know, John, I just need to change so many things in my life before I can become a Christian. No, that's the wrong way to look at it. You need to be a Christian and then change with the help of brothers and sisters, with your word, with the word of God. Or if you're here and already a child of God, perhaps see in your life that you're not prepared and you would like the prayers of the saints, would you come also as we stand and sing the song of invitation?